The answer is yes.
What was the question?
I would like to call a meeting of the House Resources to order on this February 27th, Monday, 1989, at 3:08 p.m. Let the record reflect that present we have Vice Chair Representative Jocko, Representatives Navarre, Foster, Furness, Sharp, Hudson, and Davis. Today, we have a lot of work to do, I hope. And we're going to start out by taking up Senate Joint Resolution 6 by Senator Binkley, urging the elimination of the high sea salmon interception. And then we will continue into testimony on House Bill 118 with questions and answers, or however things begin to develop. With that, Senator Binkley, welcome to our committee, and pleasure to have you. And sir, would you like to begin your testimony?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I appreciate your indulgence in hearing this resolution prior to your hearings on the ELF and your continuation of that bill that's before you. Senate Joint Resolution Number 6 is entitled Resolution Relating to Interception of Alaska Salmon and Steelhead on the High Seas. There's a rather lengthy whereas clause, as a matter of fact, about 3 pages of them, and then several resolves. I think most people are familiar with the interception problem that is facing the state this year, as well as many years previously. It's been an issue that's been around for quite some time. I know I've been active in it since 1985, at which time I testified before a Senate Commerce Committee back in Washington, and worked with the State Department in an advisory capacity when they were renegotiating with the Japanese our International North Pacific Fisheries Treaty. And we were successful in that treaty in making some headway. However, I think that this year presents several opportunities for us to further some of that work and to make some more headway on this issue. There are three different groups that this resolution is really aimed at. One is the American section of the International North Pacific Fisheries Commission, and in the audience is one of the commission members, Rick Lauber, of that organization. And basically requests them to oppose any expansion of the Japanese salmon and squid fishing areas and to oppose a Japanese proposal to convert its mothership fleet into a land-based fleet. For those of you who aren't aware what the mothership fleets really are, they are huge, big factory processing ships that are out on the high seas. And each one of those factory processors, motherships, has between 30 and 40 catcher boats that go out and actually catch the salmon. And then they bring them and deliver them to the factory processing ship that is in some cases anchored, but generally just at sea. These 30 to 40 fishing vessels that go out and catch the salmon are about 100-foot vessels. They vary in length, but they are large, substantial vessels. Each one of those in the mothership fleet carries a minimum of 10 miles of net that they fish, gill net, that they string out for 10 miles. They basically run those nets from one end to the other. If you can imagine 10 miles of net, that's farther than from here out to the airport. One gill net, and of course they're continually running those. They run down one end and come back and work them. Sometimes they even have multiple nets. They're very large vessels, and they pick the nets up high over the side of the ship, and there are many salmon that actually drop out, have been killed by the gill nets, of course, but then drop out as they're coming up aboard. So it's been estimated that there are about 50% loss of the fish actually as they drop out. So it speaks to that issue, to not allow them to convert some of those into a land-based fleet. It also addresses the United States Congress to continue the current prohibition against Japanese fishing within the U.S. EEZ. This was as a result of the Supreme Court decision. There was a lawsuit that was filed by several fishing groups in Western Alaska that said that despite U.S. treaties, which allows the Japanese with these motherships to come into our 200-mile zone, that as a result of taking marine mammals, incidentally, as they're fishing for their salmon, they need to have a permit to actually do that. And we were successful in blocking their attempt to get an exemption from the Marine Mammal Act. And then, as a result of this lawsuit, the courts ruled that indeed the U.S. could not grant them that ability to come into the 200-mile limit and take, incidentally, those marine mammals that were endangered. So we asked them to continue that prohibition against that and to, again, stay the course and not allowing them to get an exemption from that prohibition under the Marine Mammal Act. And again, a unique opportunity as the Magnuson Act, which really established the regulations for fishing within the 200-mile zone, comes up for reauthorization this year. It gives us an opportunity to go before Congress and to try and attempt to get some modifications to that act that will strengthen the ability the U.S. has to follow its anadromous species, the salmon, as they range out on the high seas. And also to take whatever actions are necessary to try and control the illegal and unregulated squid fleets of the countries of South Korea, Taiwan, and Japan. As many of you have read recently, I'm sure, and have heard, this is beginning to be a much larger problem even than the directed salmon fishery that Japan has on salmon, is the squid fleets as they go out, and some legitimately fishing for squid, incidentally taking salmon, and some the real pirates who, under the guise of squid fishing, actually go out and target our salmon. And to expand the Pelley Amendment, which would allow, give the U.S. the ability for further economic and trade sanctions against those nations whose fishermen really do intercept our fish. This would give the administration the hammer it needs in dealing with countries like Taiwan when they are blatantly violating our Magnuson Act in catching our salmon illegally, to go out and restrict their ability to import other goods such as Sony Walkman or whatever else they're trying to import into the U.S. so that we can apply a little bit of control and a little bit of punitive efforts when they are actually catching our salmon. And it also calls to the U.S. Congress to continue funding the U.S. Coast Guard and the High Seas Observer Program within the U.S. Department of Commerce, and also to continue some of the research on salmon that has been ongoing and needs to be bolstered. And it also finally speaks to the U.S. State Department and calls them to immediately begin negotiations with the Soviet Union for a joint enforcement agreement to prevent illegal fishing in the North Pacific. I'm pleased to say that since the time that we did introduce this resolution, that has indeed taken place. I was privileged to be at the meetings in Washington, D.C. when we actually did initial an agreement between the Soviet Union and the U.S. on joint or cooperative enforcement on the high seas. It's true that we did have to compromise somewhat on the language with the Coast Guard through the Department of Defense, but nonetheless it was a first step. I think it sends a very strong message to other nations that we, as two major superpowers in the world, the United States and the Soviet Union, are serious about stopping interception of salmon on the high seas, and we're going to work together to see what we can do cooperatively to stop that. And it also calls on the State Department to begin negotiations with the salmon-producing countries for an international treaty that would ban all high-sea salmon fishing. Again, as a result of those meetings that we had in Washington, D.C. with the Soviets, we have laid the groundwork for that agreement. The Soviets came prepared to that meeting, actually presented a document to us that they were prepared and were prepared to proceed with as a draft for a new international agreement. Similar to the NASCO, the North Atlantic Salmon Commission agreements, treaty that we do have now. It's perceived at this point to be a multilateral agreement between five countries, the United States, Canada, Japan, China, and the Soviet Union. The U.S., although we had a draft document, we weren't prepared and didn't have the clearance from all the necessary governmental entities to actually present that to the Soviets. But we are working on that now, and hopefully at our next meeting, which will be in about 2 months, we will be able to respond to the Soviets' proposal with our own draft document, and also, of course, a series of questions on the intents that they have within their document. So I think this is a strong message to the State Department that will support, really, act to support the actions that they're already pursuing. And then finally, to also take whatever actions are necessary to control the activities of foreign squid fleets. Again, this is an area that the State Department is working on. However, it certainly doesn't hurt to prod them a little bit in that process. So, Mr. Chairman, that's basically an outside, or excuse me, an outline of the resolution. I'm hopeful that the committee will pass this resolution. I know it's similar to one that was before the committee earlier that was introduced by Representative Ulmer that spoke to high sea salmon interception also. I think it was a little more specific to some of the concerns of the fishermen in Southeast, but this is a concern that all fishermen in Alaska should speak to and be concerned about, and I hope it's rather lengthy, but I hope we've covered all the areas of concern within the state.
Thank you, Senator Binkley, for all the hard work on this issue. I do appreciate it. I come from a fishing district myself. I know how important this issue is. There are, I understand, however, three areas that we must address. One is on page 3, line 16, where these are mostly technical amendments. We cross out the established on line 16 and authority over the, as well as fishery conservation zone. And starting in line 16, it will read then, regulates fisheries in the United States 200-mile exclusive economic zone. Does everyone have that change? Starting in line 16, cross out established, insert regulates fisheries in the United States, cross out authority over B, then reads regulates fisheries in the United States 200-mile cross out fishery conservation zone, insert exclusive economic zone. Are there any questions on that amendment?
So, Mr. Chairman, just to make sure I understand how it would read in its entirety, it would be then, whereas the Magnuson Fisheries Conservation and Management Act that regulates fisheries in the United States 200-mile exclusive economic zone is due for reauthorization in the Congress in 1989 and?
Well, except for line 17, you said in the Congress, I have by the Congress.
Oh, excuse me, by the Congress.
Okay.
In 1989.
Now, down on line 27, on that page 3, we have another change. Line 27, to hold firm in negotiating with the Japanese, and that is all crossed out. So line 27 reads, starting with the line above, International North Pacific Fisheries Commission to oppose expansion of the Japanese salmon and squid fishing areas, and to oppose is added, as well as is taken out. Any questions on that? Okay. Then next, on page 4, line 7, after the Soviet Union, insert and other cooperating countries. And then the final change will be line 11, which was taken out. The salmon producing countries, we shall leave that in. Any other questions? Any questions concerning the changes in the document? Representative Hudson.
Mr. Chairman, then the UNMOL 22789 work draft that we have on this is the corrected version. Is that correct?
It is, except for the last change, I was told.
Would you repeat that last change again, please, so that I know?
So, on line 11, with
page 3?
Page 4.
4.
Page 4, line 11, the salmon-producing countries. We retain that language, the salmon-producing countries, for an international treaty that would ban all high-seas salmon fishing. Representative Furness, did you have a question?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Are there questions of Senator Binkley? Well, no questions.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Hudson.
Are we on teleconference?
No, not yet.
Senator, you've been following this now for years, and we had recently a visit by our congressional delegation from Washington, D.C., and I know that there's efforts on the part of the House and the Senate to amend the Kelly, to expand that to all products originating from countries that have been found to be in violation here. What's your gut feeling, John? What do you think is, how's our support coming to get these amendments in?
I think, Mr. Chairman, if I might respond, Representative Hudson, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think our chances are excellent, Representative Hudson. I know last year there was an amendment that was offered in the Senate, and I believe Senator Stevens and Senator Murkowski, I can't remember which one, or if they both offered that on the floor, and I think it was in the DripNet legislation, that they were actually able to amend it. And they just simply changed the word fisheries to all. You know, instead of fisheries products, they changed the word and put all products by that country that could be sanctioned. However, there was a problem. It passed the Senate. It went back to the House. There was a problem, as I understand, with the Committee of Jurisdiction. One of the individuals whose committee that change affected did not have that language go through his committee, so he had the ability to pull that bill back in, or that change, amendment back into his committee. And otherwise, I think the support was there. Representative Young had the ability to get it passed, but there was, that committee chairman had jurisdiction, was able to foil the efforts. So given that, and I don't know all of the politics that surround the issues in Washington, D.C., but the fact that it did pass the Senate, that it came close to actually passing the House, I think is a good sign. And I think with the active help of our delegation in the pursuit of that, I think they're going to be successful in passing it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Are there additional questions of the senators? If not, the chair would let me first please acknowledge Mr. Douglas Eggers, Chief Fisheries Scientist of the Department of Fish and Game. Mr. Eggers, are you here? Yes. Since there are no further questions, so we're just going to move along to the next item of business, unless someone had a particular question of Dr. Eggers. No?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I appreciate the opportunity to be before you.
The chair would entertain a motion to move Senate Joint Resolution 6 out of committee with your desires.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we move Senate Joint Resolution 6 out of committee with individual recommendations, and that takes care of. The cameraman would like to interrupt for a moment. He has a bad cable at your feet. He's going to change his cable. Just a moment. Thank you. Now, the question here is that I overlooked one additional change. And if you turn to page 3 of that bill, it's on line 27. And it says expansion of the Japanese salmon and squid. We must take out and squid because the International North Pacific Fisheries Commission does not have jurisdiction over squid. The chair would entertain a motion to amend this.
I so move.
You can't move.
I moved. I just moved.
I saw you move.
So that brings before us the House Committee substitute with the all corrections okay at this point. I would entertain a motion to move the bill.
So moved.
Second.
One
move.
Other move.
Thank you. With that, the bill moves out of committee with individual recommendations. One more statement, please. Tomorrow, the chair would like to discuss effective dates and see where we are in terms of moving this legislation out of committee. So, thank you. Adjourned at 6:10.